Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our guide, that you are the one that enables us to walk and move and have our being, that you are the one, Lord, that guides and leads us into truth, that you are the one that enables us to do anything, because without God, it is impossible to do anything. And so today, Lord, we pray that as we seek your word to discover how we can walk by the Spirit, we ask for your wisdom, your insight, and that you would help us to understand what your will is for us. We commit this time to you, and we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk, and please God, just as you actually are walking, that you excel still more." Now, when I wrote this, I used the New American Standard Version, so I do have it up there for you to follow along with if you'd like to, all right? And I'll try to remember to tell you when I'm changing verses if it doesn't state it in the sermon. And also, inside of your bulletin today, there's a half sheet of verses that I'm going to be referring to during the sermon. So please feel free to follow along with that when I get to that point. Okay. Paul had already told the Thessalonians how they should walk. He often used this word to refer to their overall conduct and way of living as a Christian. This is not the only time he uses it either. It makes sense that he did use this word. It is one that generation after generation would and could understand and relate to. Now, I want you to correlate my upcoming explanation of walk in the natural to our spiritual walk as I describe it. My reason for doing this is to calm our drive to walk this walk in our own strength, because we can't. We must stop striving and know who God is. We are called children of God for a reason. We take our ability to walk for granted because it just comes naturally. Let's look at its progression in our lives. We're not born walking. We must be carried quite carefully by our parents for the first few months of our lives. Before we know it, though, we can sit and hold our head up on our own. Next, we might even scoot ourselves around a bit on our well-padded behinds, until we start the crawling process. This gets us around, but not to the front of the store, if you get my jest. Perhaps the next phase will find us grabbing a hold of a table leg or top and trying to pull ourselves up. Hey, this works. We can stand like Mom. We may even try to take a step like Mom and Dad. Boom. We land on our well-padded behinds and fail. Do we give up? No way. Determination is our first name now. We have a new pursuit to walk like Mom and Dad. Finally, though, one day, usually close to our first birthday, we take our first step on our own. This is followed by another and another. What comes after that is a lot of help from our loved ones to give us their hand or maybe a few fingers. Then, as we hold on to them, we can go places while being guided and protected by them. We begin to get around the house and everybody else's house on our own. Watch out, world. By the time we reach kindergarten, we are even running and doing some pretty smooth jumping. How did this happen? Did we mentally figure it out? Not really. It was a process, as is walking, by the Spirit. So today, I want to help us understand how we are to walk by the Spirit. I want to do that by reading some of the passages that provide insight and direction for us. Let me warn you, though, right now. The key to walking by the Spirit is exactly that. It is walking by the Holy Spirit's strength and guidance, not ours. I want you to see the correlation between these two progressions. We will experience similar spills and falls throughout both. We're going to start with Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Here we walk as newborn babies in the faith. Our walk is the gift of a whole new life. We learn that it is through our baptism that we are made dead to our old life, and through Christ's resurrection, we can walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Here we learn that it is by our faith in Christ that we can walk according to his will. We have learned that it is the Holy Spirit who works faith in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is like our parents and caregivers who helps us in our walk. We learn to walk with him through being able to trust him. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we understand that Paul has submitted himself as a prisoner of the Lord. We see how we would walk as adults. We are willing to submit to the Lord's will and path. How? We have come to know and trust the Lord's leading and will. Paul even gives us his own example. Trust to the extent that he counts himself as a prisoner to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. How do we walk in the wisdom that Paul is speaking of? What is the will of the Lord? What is his purpose for us? These are questions that are stirred up in us as we read such passages in the Bible. First, the Lord wants our sanctification. Well, what is sanctification? Without it, we can't walk by the Spirit. According to Luther in the Small Catechism, sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us holy by bringing us to faith in Christ, so that we might have the blessing of redemption and lead a godly life. Luther states that in a narrow sense, it's the part of the Holy Spirit's work that directs and empowers the believer to lead a godly life. It is truly important for us as believers to understand that we can't, by our own power, lead a holy and righteous life. Just as we can't walk physically, we have no strength or life flowing through our bodies. Luther makes it very clear that it is the power of the Holy Spirit, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are sanctified, made holy, and kept in the one true faith. As the Old Testament prophet Zechariah said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Now in Colossians 1, 10 through 12, it says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." I find it very eye-opening how many times Paul tells us throughout his book, his books that he wrote, to give thanks joyously. It takes faith to trust God and to thank him for all things. When God is doing a good work in or through us, it may require giving thanks with a joyful heart. What enables us to do this is the Holy Spirit putting joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. We can resist or submit to his prompting. Another motivation is remembering to keep my eye on the true prize, the inheritance of the saints, eternal life. Here again, we understand it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Paul speaks of pleasing the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. Ouch! How do we do that? What does he mean? Martin Luther tells us that in God's sight, a good work is everything that a child of God does, speaks, or thinks in faith according to the Ten Commandments, for the glory of God and for the benefit of his or her neighbor. This reminds me of parents who are elated when their child does something intentionally to please them. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. John 15, 5 says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Well, this makes bearing fruit in every good work doable, because we let the Holy Spirit be the driver, guiding and leading our lives. It enables us to do what is so hard to do, live in the present, embracing, enjoying, and entering each new day with anticipation of, I can hardly wait to see what the Lord has planned for me. Now, sometimes you will experience an abundance of his plan. Other times you will walk leaning on your own understanding and fall flat on your face, or maybe miss out on his plan. Just like our parents pick us up when we fall, he's there to pick us up. Now, Colossians 4, 5, and 6, I think correlates really nicely with our verse 3 in our scripture today. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each other. This verse gives us an example of how to behave around unbelievers. And thus, I think it does coincide with verse 3 in our scriptures today. Paul is speaking of their sanctification and refers to abstaining from sexual immorality. Now, the dictionary's definition of immoral is not in conformity with accepted principles of right and wrong. In the first century, moral standards were generally very low, and chastity was regarded as an unreasonable restriction. So the warning was needed for Christians who were not immune to the temptation. Paul continues to explain what he means, or what this might look like in our lives, in verse 5. So we are to possess our own vessel in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who don't know God. Very key to this is he is talking to Christians about how to possess their own vessels. He isn't applying it to the Gentiles because they don't know God. The reason we respect these standards are because we want to please God. The dictionary's definition of lust is a desire to gratify the senses. Excessive sexual desire is seeking unrestrained gratification and overmastering desire. So an example could even be a lust for power. A person is willing to do anything to have power over something or someone. We understand lust to be when we are driven to have or do something to the extent that we are out of control and do whatever it takes to obtain the desired. So really, we can only possess our own vessels if we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and then he flees. If I don't submit my will to God, I'm still functioning in the flesh and not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Now, how would we transgress and defraud another Christian brother or sister in this matter? If I overstep or break this law, I cheat the other person's spouse out of what is only supposed to be included in their relationship. For the single person, when you overstep or break this law, you cheat your future spouse of this honor. God's perfect plan is clear. Our flesh and the god of this world would tempt and tell us differently. But again, we can depend on the Holy Spirit so that we don't fulfill the desire of the flesh. We walk by faith and not by sight. For us, we start today, entering his perfect plan for us, leaving the past mistakes behind and trusting in the Lord and submitting to his will. We live in a sinful world. We need to remember, even though we are mature walkers, we must exercise and use our spiritual legs. If we don't, they become stiff, weak, and out of shape. We must allow the Holy Spirit, our coach, compass, and guide, to be our coach, our compass, and guide in this life. Our map is the Bible. It takes precious time to seek the Lord's path. Listening ears and a thankful heart to stay on it and keep in shape. These are ways to keep our spiritual legs in working condition. Paul adds that the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Need I say more? I believe that if we're honest with ourselves, we can see how the Lord really avenges in all these things. Yet I see his mercy and grace when we repent and acknowledge our breaking of this law. Now, it's so appropriate for Paul to address the love of the brethren. We are taught to love our brethren, which they were doing, but he encourages them to do it even more. We all have the same Heavenly Father who has shed his love in our hearts so that it can abound to other people. Again, to even do this, I need the Holy Spirit to love other people through me. God is love. If I don't love other people, how can I say I love God? The cycle of God's love is to love as he first loved me. So now my ambition should be to lead a quiet life. Basically, don't take undue interest in another person's business. It appears some of the Thessalonians, due to idleness, were sticking their noses in another person's business. Again, the Holy Spirit can alert us, especially as we pray to the needs of other Christians. If he puts someone on your heart to pray for them and keeps on doing so, he may just prompt you at some time to get involved. Otherwise, keep praying and encouraging them. We remember to always respect their boundaries. Continuing on in verse 11, it says to attend to your own business. This alone should keep us pretty busy. Work with your hands, basically earn your own way, so you won't be dependent on others. So how are we then to walk? We are to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that we work out our faith with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean the kind of fear that I'm afraid of God, but I honor and respect him as God alone. I am in awe of him. I understand that his desire is that I love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my neighbor as myself. Just as an adult walker, I sometimes misstep, trip, and fall. The Lord is there taking my hand and helping me back up. This walk is a lifelong process with a lot to learn all the way through it. These verses and their instructions are impossible for us to follow. But with the empowering leading of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it is possible. He who started good work in each one of us is able and will complete it. I want to close with Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and a quote concerning it. This is the verse. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Carrie Weems from Faith Gateway says, "Farmers used to train young oxen to plow by partnering them with stronger and more mature oxen. The job of the younger ox was simply to follow in the same direction and keep pace with the teacher ox. The older ox pulled most of the weight and understood the commands of the plow driver. If the young ox followed the older ox, everything was fine. But if the younger ox decided to speed up or lag behind, the work became difficult, more difficult. Only by keeping pace with the older ox could the younger ox complete the day's work without collapsing from exhaustion. When we are yoked to the Lord, He carries the weight." Let's pray. You know, Lord, that's what I'm especially thankful for all of us, is that you are the one that makes our burden light. And today, Lord, I know that all of us have various and different burdens that seem really heavy. And Lord, today we just lift them right up to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you take care of all the things that concern us. And Lord, I know that these people here, they want to walk as you want them to walk. And Lord, you know that it's not easy for us, but you have given us everything that we need to do so. Lord, help us just to submit our will to yours and to follow your gentle leading and allow you to be the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.